Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Ed. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. And as usual, our other co-host is running late, I guess, because he has yet to appear on the switchboard.
Great. So hopefully he'll be here very shortly.
Yeah, hopefully. So, he magically just popped up on the switchboard. What's going on, Katara?
How much? I'm sorry I'm late. I was watching StarCade 84 in the bathroom.
Are you, like, doing all your fucking WWE watching, network watching in the bathroom? Is that, like, where you have the best Wi-Fi or something?
No, that's where I do my business.
It's convenient.
I'm watching this on the toilet. I'm watching that in the bathroom. It's like, is that the only
imagine
thing
when
you have
in
there?
Total Divas. I'll be in there all the time. So.
It's true. It's true.
Well, luckily, I live alone, so I don't have to go in the bathroom to do that.
That's because you're gross. I do it worse and clean the environment. Clean up.
This is a heck of a way to start the show, fellas.
I'm going to shut up now.
Until Craig starts talking.
Craig would just hang up like he did last week.
I could. Not this week, but I could. I do that from time to time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when I have stuff to do.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. A little later on in the show, we will be talking about the network, so we can talk all about Katara's bowel movements while watching the show later. But right now, we're going to let Craig talk about or introduce what we will be talking about to start the show.
Well, I sent you guys a link. Something caught my eye on Como TV4 News this week. And never have you seen a bunch of masked men in front of the Capitol building in Washington State. And they weren't, you know, trying to rob the joint or bomb it or anything like that. But it was luchadors, and they were lobbying to get the sanctions of pro wrestling loosened here in the state. And much to my chagrin, I knew a couple of these guys, and I knew of a couple of these guys. And anyway, long story short, I got in touch with one of the guys that actually spoke at the Capitol building about the legislation and the restrictions and the fees that were charged to wrestling promoters. And I got in touch with one of the board members who I met last year at the Super China Buffet Day over at Brian's place. His name's Lenny. He put me in touch with this young luchador named El Phoenix. And we exchanged some messages, and I decided this might be a interesting topic for discussion upon our show. So that is kind of where I left it off. I got his phone number, and we're going to call him.
Now,
somebody's
I,
already
okay.
on the switchboard.
Somebody's already on the switchboard?
Yes.
You want to take this call real quick, or should we?
This is the idea.
We got a couple minutes. Go ahead and take the call real quick.
All right. Caller calling from area code 585. Who's this?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, it's
Blue
Hey,
Fist.
What's going on, Blue? What's happening?
Oh, nothing much. I just want to say hi to you guys.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, how's that WWE Network working?
It's perfect for me.
It's working great for me. I haven't had a single problem at all.
No lies.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I have an Xbox.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, like, because I know that I canceled my Fight Pass because it didn't have anywhere near, like, the library that they promised. So I was wondering if the same issues were happening with the WWE thing.
Well, there's a lot on there as far as, like, all the pay-per-views. But, like, as far as all the territory stuff, that's probably going to come on at a later date because they don't really have too much of that on there. But I'm sure it's coming. But, I mean,
yeah,
I've been...
To be on there when they announced it, they did say that just, like, the pay-per-views and some of the Raws and, you know, some of the other old stuff would be up there. They didn't say, like, a lot of the real older stuff would be up there at the launch, so...
Yeah, because, like, I know from what I've gathered from people's Facebook and stuff like that, people have shouted out, oh, I'm watching this from 1993, and they're shouting up, like, obscure stuff. So I know that, you know, at least they're able to get what it is they're looking for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching ECW, or I'm watching Bunkhouse Stampede, like, random stuff. You know what I mean?
No,
yeah,
if you look at the schedule and you jump up, like, a few weeks, they have stuff that's not listed in the rotation yet that you can watch already. So you want to try that.
So it's kind of like a TV guide kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. So.
Huh. No kidding. But do you think it's worth it?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, I mean, if you buy every pay-per-view, you're saving $600 right off the bat. So that's right
yeah,
there.
That's
is
true.
Worth it. Yeah.
I'm still buying WrestleMania on regular pay-per-view this year. I don't want no problems.
Yeah, that's true. That might be a good fall save. But the thing is, like, I think the thing with Fight Pass is that it's a flip-flop. Like, I think wrestling fans are more adept with, like, they're more used to, like, they would prefer to watch stuff on their computer. As opposed to MMA fans, they're more used to watching stuff on their TV. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. But, Rufus, we're actually scheduled to call a guest right now. Can we get you to call back in about half an hour, and then we were planning on talking about the network then,
yeah.
If we can really get into it.
Yeah,
then,
sure,
if you want
absolutely,
to call.
Absolutely. We'll do that. Okay. All right.
Cool, man. Thank you. Okay, Craig, before I call our guest here.
Yes, sir.
Am I really supposed to ask, or when he answered the phone, am I supposed to ask, is this El Phoenix?
He's a luchador. I would ask for El Phoenix. He wants his name kept under kayfabe rules, probably, and just say, hey, is this El Phoenix?
Okay.
You're the Mexican in the group. You should know things like this.
Yeah, you can speak his language.
It was embarrassing enough when I had to ask for a Tully Blanchard, and now I have to ask for somebody named El Phoenix.
That's
right.
Come and say Yama.
There you go.
That's it. I took something from
Cameron's
class
in
sixth grade.
Good.
All right, I'm calling.
Okay, good idea. Okay, here you go. Xbox, huh?
Yeah, supposedly it's going to be fixed by Monday.
So I wasn't too worried about it. I mean, eventually they have to get it fixed because it's like one of the main platforms. So I'm not all that so worried about it as some people are about suicidal over it. I'm not that far. Like, I can watch it. I'm not that big a deal.
I've been streaming.
If you wanted a lot of stuff on the network, you should probably waited a year to sign up.
That's true.
And there's tons of stuff up there. So
yeah.
But I mean, the first day I had trouble signing up, but I got signed up.
Great. Could you introduce our guest, please?
Sure thing. Usually, when masked men are in front of the Capitol building, they're usually up to no good. But for some reason, this guy seemed all right. Please welcome to the show Washington's own luchador. Yes, we have him here too. El Phoenix.
Hey, how's it going? It's great to be here.
Good. How are you, man? This is actually the first time we've spoken.
Yeah, this is a true story. Yeah, I was, we kind of decided this morning, I guess, they're going to be here. But no, I'm stoked about it. I looked up the show, and, you know, I think I'm in good company.
All right, cool, man. I guess first thing, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, that's an open-ended question.
Exactly.
Let's see. I live in Tacoma. I did American Pro Wrestling. If we're going to jump into the wrestling really quickly. Did American Pro Wrestling, train for about 6 to 8 months. And then switched over to Lucha Libre, and I've been doing that for about 3 years now and haven't really looked back. I've primarily been wrestling with a company out here called Lucha Libre Volcanica. We're a pretty small company. We literally have 12 to 15 luchadors that in the Pacific Northwest total. I went to Mexico for a while, though, too. I've spent some time in Mexico City, in Tlaxcala. And I'm hoping to go back, actually. I have a couple contacts in Tijuana and over in Cabo, and I'm hoping to go back there and be able to do some more wrestling soon. Well, that's pretty much it. I've only been for about 3 years, so I'm still kind of – I feel like I'm still getting my feet wet a little bit, you know?
What made you change from the regular standard American indie wrestling to luchador, being a luchador?
Oh, the divisive question. As far as the training was going, I didn't find American Pro Wrestling to be that fun. I was in college. I was doing a little bit of partner acrobatics. A lot of tumbling. I was in circus club. I was dating the president of circus club for a little bit, and she got me into all sorts of a lot of the tumbling and partner acrobatics again, a lot of stunting, and I even spent a little bit of time playing around with aerial silks. And when I went into lucha, when I was training American Pro Wrestling, I wanted to do some of the flying stuff. I was trying to play around with that, doing stuff that is a little more fringe, but I was interested in the intensity and the speed of Lucha Libre. And so I tried to incorporate that, and people I was working with were really excited about that. It seemed a little weird, I think. And stylistically, they are very different, aside from right versus left side. There's a different feeling in the ring. There's a different understanding of the tempo of the match. And as soon as I tried Lucha, I was like, no, this is it for me. Like, I'm more interested in doing the high fly and the acrobatic stuff. I'm more interested in the interval of the sprinting, you know, moving quickly. Instead of having a long, drawn-out story we're going to tell over 45 minutes, you know, it's going to happen in very short, rapid successions in, you know, 20 minutes or something. And I don't know, man. After I first started doing, like, high-dive roles, Salto de Tigre and Tijeras, like, doing a lot of stuff that some American pro wrestlers do but is the standard for Lucha Libre, like, that was it. And I was like, this is significantly more fun to me.
Interesting.
Now, you mentioned the difference between working right and left. You hadn't been in the business too long. How was the adjustment to that side?
Because I hadn't gotten to the point yet where it was going to be too much work. We were some of the stuff in any case comes off the same side. So, like, you know, we still throw a japonesa or like a hip toss. That still comes off the left side. You know, there were a couple things that, like, if we're doing locks, that it doesn't really matter which side you're on. But, there are a few things that transfer over really easily. Basically, I had to learn how to change my footwork a little bit, when I hit the ropes, you know, I turned to the right. Like that, some of that stuff was a little bit challenging, but I hadn't been doing it so long that it was like I had to relearn the process. So the transition was pretty easy. In fact, it was I kind of hit the ground running lucha because I'd already had bumps. You know, I already had that down. I already knew how to run the ropes. And, you know, bumps are a big part for people that are just starting out. That's scary for most people that, like, oh, I have to just fall and not land on my head, not hitting my head. So, you know, I had a leg up, but it wasn't, again, I feel like had I been training for maybe a year, year and a half, it would have been more of an issue, but it was a pretty easy switch.
Who'd you start training with here in Washington?
I actually trained with a strange collection of people, but I actually started with Coach Mike Jones. That was the person I was training with initially. Yeah, there's that.
Okay.
We've
had a few people who've worked that area. Actually, I think they were both girls, but isn't one of them had anything to say about the coach?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
They really weren't big fans of the coach. What's your opinion on the coach?
You know, I would fall into that same camp. You know, we have a professional relationship. You know, I see him, I say hi. I've seen his work in the ring, and I can say that I have no interest in working a match with him. I think I'd fall into that camp, and I'd probably just leave it at that.
Okay.
Well, it's unanimous.
That's nicer than what some of our other guests have said about him.
What's that?
That's actually nicer than a couple of our other guests have said about him.
You know, and I'm aware that I've heard, you know, and when I tell people the most part I've been training, you know, and to be completely frank, you know, when people I tell people I trained, you know, at Pro American Pro for a while, you know, I don't say Coach Mike Jones because for 3 months of that he wasn't, you know, he was outsourcing his training, you know.
Right. I actually trained with Mike Jones. I actually trained with Mike Jones, but I trained with him, not under him, if you know what I mean. So I saw him as he was coming up, and not much has changed. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you know, I and you know, maybe at another time, another venue, I'd be interested in hearing more about that because I wouldn't be surprised to find out that his coming up, as it were, would be your story would be very different from his.
Oh, I've got stories, brother. I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to hear that. Yeah, you know, because I mean, what happened is that I moved up to, you know, I was living in Portland. I moved up to Tacoma to go to college, to go to University of Puget Sound, and I decided, you know, I've been thinking about wrestling for a while. I spent two sessions with Smart Bart Sawyer in Portland when he was running.
Oh, cool.
I think he was trying to revive a Portland wrestling type thing there, and that was quite a few years ago. That was, I mean,
yeah.
Shit, I don't remember how old I was. I must have been like 16. But so that was my first taste of it, but I wouldn't say that I learned anything really there. I was sore for a couple of days, basically. But when I came up here, I decided, you know, I wanted to do pro wrestling. I had been a fan long enough. You know, let's do it. I had played sports through junior high, up through high school, and this was a good way to combine my interest in theater and acting with athleticism. And so I did some research. Actually, the first person that came up is Buddy Wayne. But the problem is he's in fucking Everett. You know, I understand that he's a great trainer. He's a good worker, and everything. I've met him once, so I don't know him personally. But everybody says nothing but good things about him. But Everett's a trek. You know, like I didn't have a car. I had a bicycle. You know, I came from Portland. I didn't need a car. So I sure as hell wasn't going to try to go Everett. You know, 3 hours, 2 hours one way. And then I managed in some really obscure corner of the web found Mike Jones information and gave him a call. And I think at that point he was ramping up to start New Generation Wrestling. And it was myself, Darrell Nelson was on at the time, and there was a couple other people that didn't really – that all kind of peeled off and stopped wrestling or moved away or whatever. Darrell Nelson's still wrestling, but he was probably the most consistent guy I think is still around.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, Buddy – to work in American style in Europe in this part of the country, Buddy Wayne, you could find no better trainer, and he's a good personal friend of mine, and love that guy to death. But
Good. Yeah, I mean, that's what I hear from, you know, everybody. I've never heard anybody really say bad thing about him. So, you know, had I been in that area, that would have been it. But, you know, again, when I'm here in school full time, working part time, you don't have time to go to, you don't have time to commute 2 hours one way.
I hear you. So when you made the transition over from American style to working Lucha, was there a local guy that trained you in that, or is it something you had to go down to? I know there's a guy in Vancouver, Portland, his name's Tito. I don't know if you ever worked for Tito down there in Vancouver, Portland area, but who'd you pick up the Lucha craft from?
You know, when I was out about with doing the training sessions with Coach Mike Jones, again, I was meeting a lot of people here and there because, you know, a lot of times they were running training sessions for him. One guy who came by a few times was, I'm not sure what he's wrestling as now. He was wrestling as El Vagabundo. I don't know what he's wrestling as now. I think he wrestled under a couple different names. But he came by a few times, and, you know, I finally managed to talk him into just like, hey, man, show me some of the basic stuff. I'm interested in Lucha. I had been interested in Lucha. I mean, when I was into watching WCW, to me, like, when they brought Lucha shorts, and those were, you know, I was a Sting mark. I was a League Skipper mark, but I really, like, I was really, really into luchadors. Whenever I saw that was like, I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm not going to do homework while I'm watching. I'm, like, I'm going to focus on this because it's going to blow my mind, and it did most of the time. So the fact that there was somebody who had access to that, to me, was unbelievable. So I said, please show me what you can. We did a few sessions here and there. It was mostly just rolls. You know, we worked on lockup and doing some basic locks and stuff, and he mentioned to me just – really casually, which is weird now in hindsight, really casually that, hey, I know somebody who's starting a school, which is now Lucha Libre Volcanica. At the time was Luchadores Independientes de Washington, which is Independent Luchadores of Washington, which sounds like a working union as far as I'm concerned. But he mentioned, you know, Jose Gomez. He's like, yeah, he's starting a school. You know, we should go up and meet him. And that was it, man. We went on a Tuesday or something, and then I was going 5 days a week. I went 5 days a week for like a year. Like, it was intense, and it's significantly closer. It's Renton. It's about 30 minutes away from here. But, you know, Jose Gomez, I mean, if you look on the website, that information's all there, but he wrestled in Mexico 25 years professionally. Like, that was his day job. That's what he did. You know, the names that he's taught, people that he's wrestled with, he performed with in Mexico, is just it's really impressive to me. I was able to, fortunate enough to go down there and meet some of the guys who were also teaching in Mexico City, and then come back and tell us, they're like, oh, yeah, I trained with Kinect. And he's like, oh, yeah, Felipe, he's a good guy. You know, fuck, like, are you kidding me? Like, Kinect's a big deal, and you guys were just homies? But, so it was awesome to find him and find the school, and, you know, we've been growing ever since. It was off to a slow start. You know, I made my debut in front of literally 8 people, and then it's been bigger and bigger and bigger since then. You know, the first show we did in South Park, we pulled about 300 to 400 people. And then Lucha de Sound, it was 600-700 the first year. Last year it was over 1,500. This year we're expecting to do 1,500 to 2,000 again, no problem.
Wow. Yeah,
it's been fun.
So me being a white guy in Puyallup, how come I don't hear about these Lucha shows that are around my area?
In Puyallup, I don't know, honestly. You know, being a small company, it's literally a family-owned company. It's Jose Gomez. His name is on the business license. Okay. You know, we have another guy who helps out with some of the pro bono marketing stuff. Our biggest marketing area is Tacoma, Seattle, because we have an annual show in Tacoma, and we have one in Seattle. But, you know, like, our biggest medium is social media. You know, that's it. It's on Facebook, and we're really, you know, when we have the show coming up, we're going to have a poster ready probably about a week or so. We basically carpet bomb Tacoma with a poster. Most of the luchadors live in Seattle, so they take them to the surrounding areas there. But, you know, we draw enough from the immediate area that we don't have the marketing resources, really, is the biggest part of it. You know, if you look at us, we look buttoned up, but that's because we have some people that work in marketing who help give us that image. but we're you know we're a small company, a horribly small company.
Please don't misunderstand me when I asked that question. I wasn't calling you a liar or anything like that. I've seen the photos. I saw the photos.
No, I get it,
but
I understand because I know that we don't do. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say I've seen the crowds in the photos. Like I've seen like outside market areas and like basically street fairs and things like that. And there's a ton of people at these shows. And I'm like, why didn't I ever hear about this? You know, because it seems like local indie wrestling in the Seattle-Tacoma area is almost non-existent now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think one thing, I know one thing that we've done is from a marketing perspective is to not market Lucha Libre. And it is, it's pro wrestling. I know this, you know this, but to not market to the wrestling crowd, because if the wrestling crowd,
right,
those were there, they're going to come. It's fine. We don't have to sell the show to them. It's the same reason that we don't market to Latinos. You know, like if there's Latinos that are interested, who are interested in Lucha Libre, and they find out they're going to come, we don't have to sell the idea to them. We have to sell the idea to people who don't know anything about it. So most of our marketing efforts have really gone around the wrestling crowd. And not that we're avoiding them actively, because we're not. But it's just been like, we don't have to sell this idea to you. You're already familiar with it. And for wrestling fans kind of like, they like Lucha Libre, they don't. You know, there's no one who's like, it's okay.
Right.
Well, I feel like there tends to be, there's two camps. And, you know,
yeah.
So we know wrestlers. We've had Chris Rising on a couple shows. We've had Mary Jane Payne on a couple shows.
Mm-hmm.
Had Matt Price on a show. You know, we've had Kevin Beretta. We've had some American Pro Wrestlers. I mean, like, we get pinged all the time on Facebook from American Pro Wrestlers wanting to work for us. But we're really actively trying to develop just pure lucha is what we're working on. But as far as marketing is concerned, it's really been that we're trying to get the word out to people who might, like, the white hipster crowd, like people who are going to be interested in lucha. And
right.
What's funny about that, though, is that people come to the show, and then afterwards they go, hey, that's kind of like pro wrestling. They're like, yeah, it is pro wrestling. Like, it's a different take on it. It's a stylistically different. It has a different cultural history, but it's the same thing fundamentally, you know?
Right.
But I love getting that's the best post show interaction I've ever had with a friend who had not been to a show before and was like, it's like pro wrestling. Yeah. Yeah, motherfucker. It's damn it.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
So
now you recently made some news in the area as far as you guys. Well, I guess Craig would be better to ask this question because he knows more about it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Craig.
So earlier this week, I'm watching the news, and there's a bunch of luchadors on the steps of the Capitol building in Washington State, and I'm like, okay, I kind of recognize that guy, but what is this all about? And I did some investigation, and saw on my Facebook feed that one of the guys that I had met through a wrestling newsletter, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, here we are. What brought you to the Capitol building this week?
So, House Bill, I always screw up the numbers, 2573, I believe.
Okay.
You know, we knew it was going to be coming up for review. If you want me to explain the bill, basically, in Washington State, it's horrendously expensive to put on a wrestling event, mainly because we are sanctioned by the Department of Licensing under the same scrutiny that mixed martial arts and boxing, all forms of prize fighting, receive, which means that on a personal level, I have to have a license, I have to get a blood test, a full physical every year, and then on top of each individual, the promoter has to pay a promoter fee, and then if you sell tickets, you have to pay, I think it's 1% or 2% off each ticket. I'm sorry, it's a 5%. I apologize. It's a dollar off each ticket, and then it's 5 or 6% of the door or something. And then you have to pay to have paramedics on site, and there's all of these parameters that simply just don't apply. It's a blanket set of parameters that are being applied to all these things that would be much better applied to real prize fighting. And I don't know if these exist from a time before, like, Vince McMahon stepped out of the closet or, as, you know, with wrestling or however it was. But the language in them is really bizarre because it really seems it seems to assume that that pro wrestling is like we're hurting each other, like we're like my objective goal is to destroy you,
right?
Which would be the case in like my heart. So Bill Pease, who is actually the primary organizer of our summer show in South Park, Seattle, he's involved in, I don't know, so just the appropriate circles, let's just say that. I don't know to what extent, but he tapped one of the state representatives from that area, Zach Hutchins, and they had a conversation about it, about how this was an issue, and Bill, you know, he works for a nonprofit, and there's other nonprofits that try to make this show happen every year, and it's really expensive, and they have to try to find a way to recoup costs, but right now they're just working on donations from the city of Seattle, from Dean County, from the Department of Neighborhoods, from other random businesses, whatever they can do to make the event happen. The whole event in itself, I think, costs about $12,000 to $15,000, if I remember correctly. And we don't see much of that, mind you. Like, as performers, right, we get paid, I mean, you know, like, with small time, like, you know, if we get paid $50, like, that's a good show.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like, and even more so for, it's even worse for Jose, because Jose, he has two rings. He has to pay rent on a facility. He pays people to come out and help set up the ring and help do all this setup. And he has a DJ system. We do all the sound is in-house for them if we can. So he has to pay somebody to staff that. So there's a lot of overhead costs for every event. And, so basically it's wildly expensive. And that's the reason that there is no pro wrestling in Washington State. Virtually none, I should say. And, I mean, you have to either love it or you have to do the workaround, which is what we're doing, actually, with the summer show, which is that we don't charge for tickets, which means we have to just rely on all these random donations that we're able to get from, you know, various nonprofits that are involved with the event. we've had that sidebar. Back to Capitol Hill. I also mean Capitol Hill. I apologize. Back to the Capitol. What was happening that day is there was going to be a hearing. We knew there was going to be something with the Department of Licensing. It had already gone past the House, like 15-0, this unopposed. And we wanted to make a presence to let people know that we were serious about that. And Zach had informed us, Representative Zach has informed us that there was a little bit of snickering, like people didn't want to take that very – some representatives didn't want to take that seriously. I went there. Jake Stratton went there. Josh Black of 321 Battle went there. And, you know, we had someone else from Lucha Mechanica that came that gave testimony, and the idea was to get there to be able to make our case and let them know that, hey – there, people do care about this, to coherently illustrate the fact that people care about this, because there was a lot of things that on that day, I think they had like, you know, 8 to 10 things that they were going, that were being discussed that day in the Capitol, just in that briefing room, and no one was there for it. It really helped us stand out, and if nothing else, to get that extra media exposure and really making our case. I think it did a lot of good for it. And my understanding is that today, I don't actually know the entire state process, but it should go to the state Senate floor, is my understanding after today.
Okay. So basically running these shows is wildly expensive. Our state takes 6% of the overall, and all you guys are basically, and heck, I've worked on those shows where here's $15 cash, kid. I'm sorry. That's all I got for you. And by the way, that was in Canada, $15 Canadian. Thanks, Tim. Anyway, it's wildly expensive to run a show because of all of the sanctions that Washington State puts on you guys, where you have to have an ambulance there and two paramedics just in case somebody gets hurt. You have to have a barricade for the people. It's wildly expensive to rent all that stuff or to even have that stuff. It's even more. And that's why a lot of the local local promotions that we had, we're down to maybe two or three, have all gone to the reservations because they don't put me, they're a separate entity and they can run on those without even having a license as a pro wrestler. And
correct.
That's crazy.
There's a couple different issues with that. And one that you're saying is that, yeah, that people, what ends up happening is that people end up moving their shows to reservations, so the state's not making any money. Or there ends up, people end up putting their underground shows, the state's not making any money. You know, or we end up having to do this crazy workaround, which ends up costing other organizations money, and the state's still not making any money. So clearly, that was our entire argument, was that, listen, the state is not making any money on this. Like, let's try to find a way to where you can make it more affordable for us as entrepreneurs, as performers, for fans, and a way that the state can make a little bit of something. Because right now, I mean, there's a level of overregulation, strangely with no regulation, because I don't know if you've seen this, but as we were discussing with Cairo King or one of the other media outlets that was asked at the Capitol, was that, you know, we've been to these events where we play by the rules and no inspector shows up.
Yeah.
No one comes to check the ring, you know. And if so, the rare event that somebody does, that person shows up and just makes sure they get the money for the state. There's little to no actual regulation per se. It's just kind of a formality that makes it really costly. A ridiculous overhead to every event. I mean, like, you're looking at, by the time the ambulance, the guardrail, all of those things, you're looking at about $1,000 just to put on an event, at least $1,000. By the time you rent a space, and then you pay for the guardrails, if you have to pay for security, because that's on there as well, the paramedics, plus an ambulance at an hourly rate, and you have to pay them for drive time, that's just a lot of money. You know, I mean, that's For a company like TNA, WWE, they can obviously pull that off. But for us, that's, you know, and then any money we make back, let's say we actually draw enough, then the state's going to take a chunk of that, and then we still got to pay out performers. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy work in any case, you know, especially for those of us who train all the time. Like, I put probably between training and between going to the gym, between going to the lucha gym, I'm putting 10 to 15 hours per week on my body. Like, that's a lot. Sure. That's a lot to come back and just get $20 to $50, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be that full time luchador that you want to be, because it just doesn't happen in this state. And years ago, there was a time where the WWE would not come to Portland, Oregon. They would not run in Oregon because of the sanctions and the legislation that they had on them. And it's only been in the last probably 7 to 10 years that Oregon loosened up their restrictions. And I have one of the old rule books around here somewhere about how a wrestler can't leave his feet or ascend to the top rope. And there's all these ridiculous things in this rule book. And it wasn't until somebody looked at this and said, well, this is stupid, and threw the thing out. And then all of a sudden WWE is welcomed back into Portland with open arms. And it's funny when you get government involved in anything, it seems that a lot of times they just don't know what they're doing.
Right. Actually, and what's funny is I was actually at that show. It was a dark match, or it was a dark show at the Roseland, and tickets sold out because they hadn't been there a long time. Tickets sold out in like 10 minutes. We paid the upper tier tickets were $45, and we were still like 15 rows from the ring, which isn't bad, really, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the feud because I wasn't really following at that point, but I do remember that there was a title belt involved, and there was a fake, well, it was like the match was thrown out for whatever reason, but Kevin Nash took the belt from, I believe, Triple H, if I remember correctly, and then they reversed the decision. But, yeah, I remember that really well. That was a big, big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So do you know what the next step to change the way things are going? Are we just kind of waiting on the state right now? Is that kind of where it's at?
That's my understanding. Yeah, is that basically right now we're waiting in front of the votes, and we've made a pretty good presence. Basically, a few of us have just been in regular communication with Zach Hutchins and Dave Dan Sawyers, the one guy from Tacoma, representative from Tacoma, and that's my current stance where we are, is we're waiting for it actually go to a vote, and then we would go to, or really waiting for after that would be a review from the Department of Licensing, in which the Department of Licensing has already stated that they are interested in working with us to come to some sort of an amicable middle ground, per se. There was somebody from the Department of Licensing who actually, pulled Jake aside when we were there and kind of said, hey, we'd love to work with you on this. It'd be great. And my understanding of the direction they want to take is they want to sit down with promoters, they want to sit down with trainers, they want to sit down with performers and kind of get a feel for what they think would be a good quote-unquote win-win,
And I think that's fair. And that's what they've been doing all along.
One thing we really have to avoid, at least we were trying to, we're not calling for complete deregulation. Like, this isn't like a Tea Party platform. What this is that, we're willing to work with the state to come to some sort of a place where the state can make some money and we can have our shows, that more people will consider starting a promotion or maybe sponsoring a wrestling, a small startup company, that more people will try to come back to the ring. Cause I mean, I feel like it's really easy to, especially for us, like most of us in the gym at Lucha Libre Volcanic are pretty damn dedicated. I'm there. Since we've switched to the format of things, I'm there 3 days a week. I used to go five. And then once we had a beginning class, now we have beginning advanced classes. So I go 3 days now. And most of the people who go to the advanced class come 2 to 3 days per week. They go to the gym. Like, we want to be like, we're just dying to show off what we're able to do in the ring. We literally get like three opportunities. Like, I go to Mexico. I have friends down there in Mexico City, and I go down to train because that's the epicenter of Lucha Libre. But I mean, I almost go down just because I want to fucking perform more than a couple times per year, and it's horribly frustrating. And I really, the fact that everybody who's at the Lucha Libre Volcanica gym sticks around and continues to come back, that really shows how much we love what we do. And we're willing to push this house bill through, and, we'll see what happens beyond that. But I mean, I think we all love this enough that's what we're hoping for, so we can really, just perform. That's really it.
So what's the next event you guys have coming up?
The next event that we have coming up is March 29th at the University of Puget Sound. That is Lucha Day Sound. That's our third year in a row. So it's basically, it's going to be every year. It usually happens February, March-ish. That's kind of our WrestleMania. As much as we can have something like that when we only have 15 people, this is going to be the first show that we do that's pure lucha. Everybody who's there has been trained up from specifically Lucha Libre. We don't have any American Pro Wrestling matches. We have two guys coming up from Pro Wrestling Revolution from San Jose. We're going to have Raquel Fantasma and Cazador de Alma. Vaquero would work with AAA and work with a couple other companies in Mexico. So I'm really excited to have both of them. I've trained with both of them a couple times down in San Jose. So we're really stoked about that. We're going to have a couple debuts at the beginning of the show. And, as a whole, I'm stoked about the show. We drew, like I said, like 1,500 plus last year. We're hoping to do that plus more this year. And the crowd's always really hot. It's a good combination of people from the community. You have Latinos coming out from East Tacoma. We have people coming from Seattle. We have a bunch of drug frat boys who are great in the first couple front rows. The whole crowd is awesome. We're going to have Jake Stratton there. He's going to be calling the shots. And, I can't say enough things about it. We're working now. So.
Now, do they have a website that people can go to check that promotion out?
we have a website that's under construction. The website right now is luchavolcanica.com. But the most actively updated thing is our Facebook, which is facebook.com/luchavolcanica.
Very cool. And people could check you out on Facebook as well, because that's where I found you, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's facebook.com. l.luchador.phoenix. I also have a blog, which I'm always writing about anything that's happening with Lucha Volcanica, since that's kind of my home turf, per se. That's lifeoflucha.com. And just so no one's alarmed, I'm actually going to be changing my name. It's going to debut at Lucha de Sound, but lifeoflucha.com will still remain. But it might be a different luchador's name, just the same guy.
Fair enough. Hey, Phoenix, I want to thank you for your time tonight. Have a great weekend, brother.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much, man. It was great to chat.
You bet. Thanks.
Cheers.
Oh, man. Have a good night.
There he goes. Did we lose? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like, as far as I can always remember, you'd always hear about how screwed up and how hard it was to do stuff in that part of the country. And it's 2014, you know what I mean? It's like, how do they not know what wrestling is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is it treated like it's real?
when you have the same commissioner going to the boxing matches, the MMA fights, and even back in the day, the tough man competitions, and lumping pro wrestling into those three things is ludicrous.
Yeah. But I don't know if I mentioned, I'm currently watching the Shine pay-per-view, iPay-per-view. And,
okay.
You'll never guess who came out of retirement to take part of this tag team tournament that they're having.
Yeah, I got nothing.
It's Akira Hokuto. Oh, wait. My
really?
Mistake. It's not. It's that other one there with the Toledo. Malaya Haskaya.
You suck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But she's actually in the tournament. She had been retired for like after those. She wrestled for Chihuahua those few times, and then she retired. So I guess she's back for this thing. But I think Lupus is back on the line here. I just checked. So let me see if he's back here. Blue Fist, are you there?
Hey, hi.
There you are.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, that guy sounded nice.
He's a cool cat. And
yeah.
Granted, that's the first time I talked to him. He seems like a cool cat.
Hey, did they shut down Chikara for a while?
Chikara
was
like
big shut down.
Big angle or something?
Yeah, they were like kind of shut down. What was it? It wasn't a year, but it was like.
It was close.
It
really?
Was like, I think it was like more than half a year.
Wow. Just because of money, huh?
They had this big angle in return that I saw. Like, it was at this one wrestling show, and they had like this big return, but I honestly had no fucking clue what the fuck was going on at all. So, but I just know that a DeLorean showed up with that one manager guy from ROH, and
yeah,
they had like this big giant brawl, but yeah, I couldn't tell you what the whole story. I was trying to get Bryce on the show. Just Friday isn't a good day for him, so.
Yeah. I remember back when I was into Chikara and the whole indie scene, I actually went to one of those small towns in Pennsylvania, and it was awesome. It was at a VFW, and it was on the second floor, right? And it's a little ring. It's not like a big pro wrestling. It's like one of those like a step stool height, the canvas. Like, if you take one big step, you're basically on the apron. And it was fun, man. That was back when Larry Sweeney was alive and stuff, and Chris Hero, and freaking Eddie Kingston. Those guys, that's one of those, like, you're talking to that guy about, like, how it's hard to maintain costs and maintain, you know, keep shows like that going, and it just reminded me of Chikara, and I heard that they were out for a while. But, you know, it's things like that, promotions like that, little small mom-and-pop things that are kind of like they represent the good guys, and they represent, like, the purity of bringing entertainment to the folks, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's what I got out of it. So, he seemed like a nice guy. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been kind of apprehensive about laying down the money for the WWE thing based on my experience based on my experience with Fight Pass, because, like I said, Fight Pass, it's nowhere near what they promised it would be yet. And plus, I'm not confident that people, like, okay, on WWE, you can get away with having exclusive shows and stuff like that, because you're going to see the same people, like, on free TV, like, in a couple days. With, like, Fight Pass, people are going to, like, miss out on an opportunity for the first time this year to see that guy that fought John Jones, Gustafsson, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
there's gonna be, like, a blowback, I think, in a big way, people that, because, like I said, I think it's a flip-flop. I think wrestling fans, they're more apt to want to watch stuff on their computer as opposed to MMA fans. They're more like sports bar kind of people. You know what I mean? They're more conditioned to watch things on TV. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, like, one thing, like, well, the wrestling fan, let's say they want to go back and watch, like, older stuff, they'll watch the whole show. Whereas if you want to go back and see something in MMA, they're going to go to a show. They're not going to watch the whole show. They're going for, like, a certain fight, you know?
Yep, right. Exactly.
So you get more out of the WWE just because there's more stuff to enjoy. You know, you get to enjoy the whole thing instead of just going for the one fight and like a tension. And then it's a lot harder to find. You know what I mean? You gotta scroll through it or whatever. You know, trying to find on the WWE, it's a lot easier to find what you want.
Okay, I was gonna ask that because that's a pain in the ass with Fight Pass, is that you have to really, as it exists right now, maybe they'll change it, but as it exists right now with Fight Pass, you have to be sometimes very specific about what you put in the search engine. So you're saying that with WWE, it's not the same thing?
No, it's a lot easier. Like, basically, like, on, like, for the pay-per-views, like, you click on WCW, and it'll give you, like, a list of all the different pay-per-view names, and there's three pages. So you just go through those, and you just pick what you want, and you, like, click on Starcade, and it'll have all the different Starcades. You know, from 83 to the last one. And then I haven't really actually watched a whole lot. I don't think it was on the first Starcade, but on the second Starcade, there were like little circles on the bar line. And you just put your like cursor on those, and it told you, okay, this match is starting or this and that. So it just kind of gave you an idea, so, you know, made it easier for you to, like, if you're looking for a certain match on Starcade 84, you know, it was a lot easier to find it. Now, I don't know if they do that for every single one of them, but they did have that. I do wish they would, and I'm sure they will put it eventually, but they need to resume function like Netflix, because, you know, I am kind of skipping through stuff, you know what I mean? So it would make it easier when I go back to it, you know what I mean? And but I'm sure that'll come very soon, you know.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, go ahead.
I was going to say, I watched the live streaming NXT show last night, and I was, if you're worried about shelling out $9 a month, I watched one match last night on that program.
You the only one here today?
No.
We need a green, the special green's got a scratch on, we can't get rid of it.
Okay.
We hit it with everything, just help me. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, conduct business on your own time, Bluefist. Come on now. I watched a match with Sami Zayn against Cesaro, and I watched that match, and my $9 was taken care of for the month.
So what does he split time between, like, the main shows and going down to development, or what?
Yeah, basically. There's a few guys that go down there and work from time to time, but that match was absolutely phenomenal.
Plus, his girlfriend's one of the head trainers, though. So.
Oh, okay. It's funny because like I don't know if you guys noticed, but like Shayna Baszler, who was on The Last Ultimate Fighter, she's like living with Ronda Rousey now, and Ronda invited, I guess, Shayna and Justin and Duke to, I guess, live with her for the time being. So they all get together on Mondays and they watch Raw and stuff because Shayna Baszler is a big wrestling fan.
She tweets a lot on Mondays.
Yeah, yeah. And she made a tweet last Monday about how much she thought Cesaro was really, really great, but that guy's been great for a long time.
And yes.
Some of his best stuff was back when he was, you know, Claudio Castagnoli. I mean, like I said, I've been out of the loop for a long time, so it really kind of confuses me as to why, for example, like, why Chris Hero isn't even there. You know, I mean, I know he got let go from developmental or whatever, but it's like, those two guys are both, like, equally talented. And it's just, I think, I don't know, it's like one of those things where
One guy is very dedicated to his diet and his workout regimen, and the other guy might get in shape for a couple months, but can't maintain, and this would kill them. I mean, you know, people might get mad at this, but let go because he's not overweight, but by WWE standards, he is. And, you know, it's a very cosmetic business. You know, they don't like Dusty Rhodes types, so not that he was Dusty Rhodes, but, you know, they want you to look like $1 million. And some people just genetically aren't able to, and or they're not dedicated to it like Claudio is. Because when Claudio was on the show, he would talk about how he'd go on a trip, he'd prepare food for every day of the week, for every meal. Everything was, like, exact, you know.
Take
it with him. And then you got another guy who probably likes to have a couple cheeseburgers, you know, like everybody else. And, you know, I mean, they're probably on an even par as far as ability, but as far as the look, it's a totally different story. And like I say, I'm not saying Chris Hero's out of shape. I've been watching Starcade. No. I've been watching these guys who are in great shape. They just don't look like $1 million. And a lot of these guys who had good careers in the early 80s, 70s, they wouldn't even get into developmental now just based on body type.
I will say this for Chris Hero, though. At least the last couple years, I've noticed when I've seen stuff in passing, at least he can wrestle without his shirt on now.
True.
So he's at least made it that far.
Yeah.
Hey, if I had the guy's body, I'd take my shirt off more often. Just because I could. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got a little bit of a spare tire. And by the way, not much more than CM Punk had when he
No,
came
exactly.
In.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And yep. When Triple H called him skinny fat, this was Chris Hero's a little bit taller skinny fat. And why they let him go is really a shame, because they do have Husky Harris, and they have different body types now, and why this guy couldn't degrade, I'm not 100% sure.
I think that if he sticks with it, they'll take him back, because that dude, he's just got too much talent. And plus, I think that guy is like the modern-day equivalent of like a Barry Windham. I really do. Just he knows how to do so much, and he can adapt to any style. And, you know, I can't help but think that at some point, you know, he'll make it. It's fucking weird.
Well, Claudio got a second chance, so, you know, maybe he'll get one too. It is funny, like, if you look at, like, what I was saying about, like, the physiques and stuff, like, I was watching Starcade and this older stuff, and you got guys like Tommy Rich, Jay Youngblood, Gino Hernandez, these good-looking guys who, by today's standards, wouldn't even get looked at because they're not cut or ripped up like they are today. And it's amazing how much wrestling has changed from the early 80s to now.
Yeah, well, really, that's like society, you know. I think that's everywhere, you know. It's like in all forms of entertainment, in some ways, cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true.
I've been out of the loop for quite a bit, but not to mention Shayna Baszler again, but, like, she tweeted about the Royal Rumble, that the last one that happened. So I checked it out later, like, a couple days later on YouTube. And then, what's his name there? That dude, he's cousin or nephew of the Samoans or whatever, Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roman Reigns.
That guy's pretty good, huh?
Yeah. He's got star written all over him.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad that they couldn't have just let him, like, beat, like, throw, you know, him and Batista were the last two, right?
Yeah, and
Batista, he looked wicked old compared to all those other dudes. he really did. And he hasn't been gone that long, but he completely looked like old and out of place and shit. They should have just let that kid. I mean, you know, don't have to let the kid. They don't have to let the kid win the belt necessarily, but or maybe they even make him lose a shot on Raw or something, or they do something. They let him win, you know, and let it give him a rub. You know what I mean? That's what they should have did. But still, you know, like I said, what little I do know about it anymore, I know that they're screwing over Daniel Bryan as a part of like the build and everything, and just takes too long. you know what I mean? They take too long. You know what I'm saying? I guess they're screwing him over as part of the build, right? They're not just screwing him over to screw him
Absolutely.
Over, right? Okay.
Yes, he'll.
It's obviously going to add something to that main event of WrestleMania at this point, because now they got two heels in the match, so they're always going to have to add somebody to it.
What's funny is everyone's always talking about, oh, they're burying Bryan, they're killing Bryan, they ruined Bryan. Every time they do this, he gets more over. So I don't know why everyone gets more upset. You know, it's eventually going to be like Eddie, and Vince will finally see everyone going crazy after a while, and they'll give him the title and give him a big push. And if they don't, it's not like I say, no one's not, you know, they could beat him, like that whole thing to SummerSlam, they beat his ass like 7 weeks in a row. Nobody stopped cheering for him. They cheered for him more. You know what I mean? It's like he's immune to, like, being buried because it has the opposite effect and gets him more over.
That's part of the reason that they do it. It's just that this one, it's such an aggressively long, prolonged build that everybody's losing their shit about it.
It's like when you're a teenager and you would walk that girl to the front door and she would quickly go inside the first time. The second time...
Katrina might not know about this, so you might want to explain it.
The next time, you would be standing there puckered up, and you get the door again. And then finally, after, you know, hopefully with my daughter's case, like 12 to 15 dates, finally a peck on the cheek takes place. And fireworks go off in the distance.
Like the Brady Bunch.
Absolutely. So as soon as us fans get kissed, it's going to be awesome.
Ah, good. You're supposed to be kissed last summer, I thought.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Well,
he went for about 5 minutes. He went for about 5 minutes. So.
I'm standing at the door still puckered. That's all I know.
But, I don't know, it's good. It's good to see those guys from, like, back, like, almost 10 years ago now that were big on the indies, at least they're getting theirs. But like I said, the Chris Hero thing, that's the only one that kind of weirds me out. I thought that by the time Punk made it and Danielson made it and all those dudes that he'd be right up there, but oh well.
Give him time. Who knows?
That crowd this Monday is going to be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. They're in Chicago.
So. I guess it's going to tell if he's gone or not, so I don't know.
Apparently, there are people who are trying to arrange a protest in Chicago, so whenever that Orton or Batista come out, they're going to stand up and turn their back to the ring.
Well, good luck with that. Rudos.
Can I plug my podcast real quick?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Magnetism or the MMA one?
The MMA one. MMA Dude Bro. MMADudeBro.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff. We've interviewed Bruce Buffer, Boss Rutten, Shayna Baszler, Darren Cruikshank, both
both dudes from Bellator, the announcers, a bunch of people. So we got the whole back catalog on the website, and this week we should be speaking with John the Bull McDessie from UFC. He's a lightweight, and then we'll also be speaking with Ashley Evans-Smith, who just got signed to World Series of Fighting. She's the one that ended up beating Fallon Fox. So.
Oh, yeah, I saw that fight. That was actually pretty funny.
That was a good fight, yeah, and she's really nice. She's a really nice person, and so this will be like the second time we had a chance to talk to her. So.
Nice.
That's that. Yeah, so
cool.
There you have it.
All right. Are you ever bringing back the other podcast, or is Junior Horseman fired or something?
No, he's not. He's not fired. I'm so busy with this other one. I'm trying to figure out what to do with it, but I want to, because we still get downloads from the back catalog all the time. I mean, we still have numbers, but it's just that right now I'm really working as hard as I can to try and get this one where I want it, and we're doing real good. I mean, we're doing real good. I mean, steady numbers, steady. You know, that's a funny thing, because like MMA fans, a lot of people may think that they're not intelligent people, or it's kind of the same rap that wrestling fans get. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But the MMA community, just like the wrestling community, it's filled with some pretty incredible and fascinating people, and they're very fiercely loyal. So, you know, we've been very steady as far as, like, the number of people that listen and the number of people that give us feedback and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and we're really slowly but surely getting our footing, but it takes time and it takes the work. So that's probably the biggest reason why the other one hasn't resurfaced yet. But I'll manage to do both at some point.
Cool. Now, are you and your significant other finally going to get your asses back to Vegas this year?
She wants to go. I mean, she keeps saying that she wants to go back. But if we do, then I don't know if we'll, like, go to, like, we'll probably go to, like, the main dinner and, like, the big events. But I don't know if we'll do, like, all the website stuff, you know, like, the whole trip. You know what I mean? Because what's that?
Well, that's fair. Sometimes you gotta do family stuff too.
Yeah, I think I kind of owe her one of these vacations where it's like I'm not just hanging out with you guys the whole time. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I'm sure she would prefer to hang out with us over you anyway.
Well, I know. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So I don't know. I mean, I got to serve two masters.
Yeah.
All right, so as you could probably tell, I'm at work, so I got to get back. But
yeah.
I wanted to say hello and, you know, wish you guys well.
Okay.
Cool, man. Good to hear from you, brother.
All right. Take care.
See you, man. Right.
Talk to you later, Bruce. All right, well.
There he goes.
There he goes, and there I'm going because my two favorite women wrestlers are in the ring right now.
Oh, jeez. Well, while you do that,
like Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Yeah, they're wearing red and yellow with Hulk Hogan shirts. I think it's Hulk Hogan shirts, but anyway.
I got a question. Hey, Couture.
Yes.
Pulling you back into the conversation here.
Okay.
What was the first thing that you pulled up on the network this week?
The first thing I pulled up was. Actually, I haven't really watched. I've only watched, like, one show. But the first thing I pulled up was, like, Starrcade 86.
Okay.
If I could get that up. And I hate that generic music that they use.
Yeah.
They have, I mean, Starrcade, that's like, how can you have Starrcade without Prince Stallone's Far From Over, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something bad. I like that they're the satellite versions of those Starrcades that weren't on pay-per-view. So. And there's like 3-hour versions, so that's pretty good. And they're in good quality too.
I will say as far as from the first Starrcade 83 and 84,
uh-huh.
There's some good shit on those. There's some shitty matches off.
I know.
Yeah, times have changed. I think the best matches, like one of the early ones,
was like Ricky Steamboat and Tully Blanchard was pretty good. That was an awesome match on the 1984.
I just actually watched that a little before the show started.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you pulled up, Ed?
What the hell do you think it was? The one episode of World Class that they have?
I think there's three of them on there now.
I've been able to. Oh, okay. I got to check because as far as the only one I saw had a featured King Kong Bundy throwing some ass crack because he was wearing jeans and a sweater as he attacked the Reapers.
Like I said earlier, if you go to the full schedule and you go all the way to the end, they have some shows that aren't in the rotation yet but that you can still watch. Like they already had the WrestleMania Rewind with Hulk and Andre up. I can watch that one. There's some newer episodes of ECW, a newer episode of Old School with Andre against Kamala in a steel cage.
Yes.
So,
There was one episode of ECW Hardcore TV that was on there originally, and then just yesterday I noticed that there was actually three of them up, and I saw a barn burner of Terry Funk versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka in a cage match.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the World Class, some of these later episodes. We've got Michael Hayes against Roberto Renesto, David Von Erich against Frank Dusik, Jose Lothario and El Madrill against Magic Dragon and Checkmate.
Wow.
El Grand Marcus II versus the Samoan. Kerry Von Erich against Killer Tim Brook. The Freebirds versus Kabuki and Magic Dragon. Kerry Von Erich against Destroyer II. Good stuff.
I saw
Kabuki in a horrible a handicap match.
Last night I was I had some time to kill right before bed, so I have an Apple TV in my bedroom. Or no, I have Roku in my bedroom. I have Apple TV downstairs on the big TV, and then I have it on my computer, and then both my wife's and my iPads. So I got the network all through the house. So last night I finally set it up on Roku upstairs. As I was going to bed, I found the ECW One Night Only pay-per-view. And I almost went to bed late because I was so enthralled. I had forgotten that they actually had Taz and Jerry Lawler as the opener. And there was nothing to it. There was nothing to it, and that's why I'd forgotten it. But that whole thing's on there, which that is just a riot to see those ECW fans booing the heck out of the WWE product that's in their building. I watched a few matches on that. My son, I can't get my iPad back. He is watching. Like, he started watching all the pay-per-view. He started watching all the WrestleManias. And he's watched it way more than I have. So I've got my $9 out of it already, and I went ahead and canceled my Hulu Plus subscription. So that paid for it right there. And then yesterday, both of us on the couch watching NXT, we only had two blip outs in the main event, and that's the only time we had problems. And we enjoyed the heck out of last night because we didn't have to watch Impact. Just being honest.
You should check out some of these Legends roundtables. They're pretty good.
I was actually just about to bring that up because I watched the three that they had up, and they're fucking funny as shit, man. They're awesome. I love that. I just watched the one with the bat characters or whatever. And Dusty Rhodes is telling the story about young Cody Rhodes watching the Shockmaster, and he's all, I think that's Uncle Fred.
That's funny. Okay, I'll check that out. Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying the network. It's and I haven't had problems like other people, I'll just be honest. And we don't have, like, you know, broadband in our house or anything like that. I haven't had any problems. So
I know a lot of people are flipping out about it. I'm the kind of person that I'm in it for the long haul, so I'm okay to wait to see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, it's brand new. It's not going to be perfect. There's no trial and error. There's just, you know, I don't know what people are expecting. I mean, there's going to be problems. They're slowly being resolved. You know what I mean? I think they're being resolved very quickly. It's only been, you know, less than a week, and they've got most of them taken care of for the most part. So
I mean, I can understand, like, people not being able to watch on, like, the Xbox and stuff like me. But, I mean, I can weigh that. It's going to get fixed eventually because, you know, like I said, it's one of the main platforms out there. They have to fix it. So I'm not too worried about it. Actually, the best thing to do if you're going to sign up, you should wait a year to sign up when there's more shit on here. If you really want something, if you really want a, like a big library.
Or maybe wait till like right before Mania.
Yeah. I think I'm with Brian on that Mania idea. I think you should buy this one just in case if you don't want any problems.
That's what I'm doing.
See,
I'm not taking any chances.
I have a better idea. I'm going to be at WrestleMania live, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh,
if you want to leave a bet on pay-per-view, if you want to go
home. I'll come home and watch the video on demand.
Yeah.
If you want to go bet on pay-per-view.
And if I want, while I'm at WrestleMania, I'll just pull out my droid and I'll watch WrestleMania on my phone while I'm there watching it live.
That's true. And yeah,
I would have to do that just for a couple minutes just to say that I did that.
If I was at home this year, yes, I would buy it on pay-per-view just to cover my butt. Just one more time, because that's the one where you've got people over. You know, you've got a little spread set up, and you don't want that thing failing on you. And just to be safe this year, I would totally buy it just to make sure.
Yeah.
I think they should do another NXT special like a week before to get the streaming down, just to make sure there's no heat in.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, just to give it another shot to make sure that everything's on the up and up and give it another trial run. That's probably not a bad idea.
I can't imagine WrestleMania going off without a hitch, though. I mean, that's just...
Oh, no.
Too many people, you know, watching. So, I don't know.
Well, if ratings say anything, TNA took a great big hit because of that show on last night. So, who knows?
You gotta, like, 0.9 or something like that? No.
Yeah, it was
something like
that. It was way down.
And they get a pay-per-view this weekend.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Is it a real pay-per-view?
I might not even watch it. I might be done with TNA.
Yeah,
is it
a real
pay-per-view?
It's a real pay-per-view.
Wow.
It's on pay-per-view. I've got the lineup right here. Patricia sent it to me. Since we're on that topic and we've done no news, let me see if I can find it right here. Here we go. We got a TNA World title match with Magnus versus Samoa Joe. We have the Lethal Lockdown for control of TNA. We have Team Dixie, which is Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and the Bromans, versus Team MVP of MVP, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, and it says Jeff Hardy. Is that correct?
It's going to be Willow the Wasp.
Yes,
Willow the Wit.
You call him what you want.
It sounds cooler.
And we have Ethan Carter versus Kurt Angle. Now remember, this is Lethal Lockdown, so everything's in a steel cage. But this one is a steel cage match.
Okay, over under, Kurt Angle becomes a quadriplegic after this match.
And James Storm versus Gunner. And in the bathroom break match, Madison Rayne versus Gail Kim.
That is not a bad, that's probably the best match on the show.
We also have another pay-per-view coming up in One Night Only.
Wrestling on this show Sunday, too, they announced today.
What's that? I'm sorry, Katrina?
Ray Moodle's wrestling on the show pay-per-view this Sunday. The Lockdown, they announced that today.
Because you're wrestling?
I don't know. They announced that they would be wrestling.
Interesting. They also have a pay-per-view, a one-night-only pay-per-view. By the way, this one-night-only gimmick that they're doing on pay-per-view, the last one-night-only pay-per-view ran for about 3 weeks straight. One night only for 3 weeks straight. Anyway, they're doing
ACW only went like two one-night stands.
Oh, okay.
One-night stand one and one-night stand two booty call. So
this is it's going to be March 2nd, Wrestle 1 versus TNA, one-night-only pay-per-view, Magnus versus Kai, and I'm going to butcher these names. Takamea versus Abyss, the Junior Stars versus Bad Influence. Anyway, there's a lot of TNA talent versus Japanese talent. It should be it's probably one of the better shows of the year, to be honest with you.
I was wondering why they were they originally had the bromance and the tag title match. I said, well, why don't they just put the belts on Edwards and Richards, since they're more like would fit in with the Japanese, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was the original plan from the beginning, that it was supposed to be Davey and Edwards taking the titles, but then they decided not to put the titles on them, so then they had to change it in front of like 200 people instead of a big crowd in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The moment Logano left ROH, he's been after those wolves. To get him in TNA, and that's quite an accomplishment for him. You know, the fact that they didn't
accomplishment because the WWE told him no.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, I have the Great Moto match is a six man. It's Bad Influence and Chris Sabin against Moto, Sonata, and Tigre Uno, whoever that is. So. He will be wrestling on the show this Sunday.
So that'll probably be like hype to the one night only pay per view then.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
One Tiger. What the hell kind of a name is that?
Mm-hmm. Got me.
I don't know.
Anyway, Shine update. The Hulkamaniacs of Leva Bates and Mia Yim just won their match.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And I know, okay, it says Lichamania.
There you go.
I was very excited. The chicks they were wrestling were pretty damn hot, too.
Well, there you go. You do watch this for the wrestling, right?
Actually, I do, because the wrestling is actually pretty awesome on these shows.
No, okay. I was just checking.
But it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt that Mia Yim is freaking fucking beautiful.
She's very attractive. She's a very attractive woman,
Have you noticed on this network that everybody's going out, they're going back and watching some of the worst shit that was ever done? We're like watching shit from WCW 2000. Everybody wants to watch the Great American Bash 1991. They want to watch, I don't know, Greed from 2001 or something like that. People love watching shit.
Hey,
it's
weird.
It's funny the way your mind almost plays tricks on you that you can remember something from back in the day that was just awesome. And then you go back and watch it, you know, years later, and it's like, that was okay.
Speaking of why I watch these pay-per-views, guess who's making their way to the ring, Craig?
Serena Deeb.
Serena Deeb and her two big giant breasts.
They come with her, you know.
And she's wrestling. She's wrestling Angelina Love and her big breath.
Hmm.
And April Hunter's with Serena Deeb, and she's got her big breath there too. So.
April Hunter's. Yeah. April, when you say April Hunter has big breaths, that's like telling a man in the path of a tidal wave that he's going to experience moisture. You are underselling the fact, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. She's not as muscular as she used to be, but she still looks like she could beat the shit out of us anytime she wanted to.
Well, sure. Anyway.
Have you watched WrestleMania Rewind yet?
I have not.
You should watch it. It's really good. They kind of give you like a history of just like the main event, and then they show the whole match. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, I will check those out when time permits. Now, Ed, last week we did not get the plugs out because you would not shut up, or at least that's who I'm blaming it on.
So, well, we got the plugs out. We just didn't get them on the live feed.
Okay, fine. We'll get the plugs out, Ed.
All right, everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download the Stream Our Show at BlockTalkRadio.com/Cotrera. Add older shows at BlockTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Proper Jam. I've changed my my name. If you search Brian's friend Craig, you can find me really easy since he has been so gracious as to let me on his show on Tuesdays once a week. Whether it's a pay-per-view week, it'll be on Sunday, and then Tuesdays the rest of the time. So Proper Jam on Twitter.
Yeah. Speaking of your little buddy, he's been pissing me off all day, but luckily for him, he sent me a text to tell me that his email's been down, so I'm going to give him a quick foot up.
Brian Cotrera.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrera if you want to watch classic wrestling with no buffering. So.
bullshit. Fucking YouTube buffers a lot sometimes.
Well, that's I don't have any problems with it. You're watching it wrong.
You're watching it wrong. That's right.
I'm looking at they got the thing on. They say it on now is ECW Hardcore TV from like 1994, and it's just a picture of Jimmy Snuka with glasses on and a baseball cap with his mouth sticking open.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't know. Maybe it's after he stomped that woman in. I don't know.
Shh, Casey. Nobody knows
about
that.
I missed that last.
Maybe when he stomped that woman, when he killed that woman, maybe that's the face. I don't know. Never mind.
Yes, never mind. Moving on. Nothing to see here. Buddy Wayne will never confirm that story or deny it. Anyway.
Hopefully, pretty soon we'll get to see Buddy Wayne on some Saturday night.
Or some other shows. Didn't he do like WWF jobs too?
Oh yeah, he was on some Velocity shows, and he was on the Mexican one.
Super Astros.
Super Astros. Thank you. Yes, Super Astros. He wrestled. Not super crazy. He had the red hair. Red. S.A. Rios, who changed his name to something else when he was, or maybe he was something else. Anyway, yeah.
It was Papi Chulo before, and then he became
Papi Chulo. Thank you, Papi Chulo. But yeah, I saw him wrestle him in the Tacoma Dome, and then did a couple other things for Super Astros, but I can't remember exactly what. But I'm sure those will pop up in due time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our time.
You know how long it took me to get logged on? I had to go through get like 13 passwords sent to me before one of these fucking things would work on my account.
That's because you don't know how to use it right.
Okay.
I literally had all six of my devices hooked up and running and on the internet in less than a half hour. Of course, I waited till later on in the day to do it. I waited till I got home from work, which was, you know, like 5 o'clock your guys' time or so, and logged on with my computer, paid with my credit card, and it was up and running literally within 5 minutes And then I went around and found the app on each of my devices, typed in my password, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, my kid's watching WrestleMania, got a grin ear from ear to ear. So all you guys that jumped on early in the day, what did you think was going to happen?
I was worried I was going to have to call customer service or something, and I'm win-win for it, especially after some of the stories I've heard, like this past week, people having to call and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just can't stress enough, give it time, it'll be fine. Give it a little bit.
They should probably extend everybody's free trial a week or so.
That's not a bad idea. I guess that's one way they can get away with it.
They should just set up, let people sign up for like the last month or so before. I don't know why you want everybody signing up on the same day.
Yeah, that did seem silly to me.
Yeah. Well, before we do get off the air, I have to make a complaint and say that Gabe Sapolsky sucks. The damn website totally crashed. I didn't just lose the stream. That whole WWN Live is like fully out.
Well, your heat with Gabe.
What?
Your heat with Gabe continues.
Yeah, it's his fault. He's the one that screwed it up. I was enjoying myself, actually.
Put your pants back on, and then maybe the stream will come back up. I don't know.
Yeah, probably would.
No, that's horrible.
Well, Serena Deeb was in the ring, Craig. I mean, give me a break.
Well, she's on my list, but that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess we can go ahead and bring the show to an end here. And we'll come back. We'll be back next week. And we'll figure something out to talk about then. So everybody, come back. Come back next week and we'll talk to you then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.